Alrighty. Sabbath blessings, everyone. How's that mic sound? Is it coming in loud and clear? Let me see. Let me look and see what's going on. Because it does get a little shaky at times. I got to make sure that thing's good to go. I don't plug it. Alright. Thank you there, brother. Giving me that heads up. All right, again, Sabbath blessings, everyone. I hope that you're all having a beautiful and blessed Sabbath day. I do want to open up with lots and lots of praise. I cannot stop praising God enough for the many, many things He's done in my life that continues to open up doors. I see things that He's moving in ways that are adapting to my character. And, it's amazing how He works with each and every one of us, that He comes at us right where we're at. He meets us right where we are. And He desires just to bring us up. We have to just open up our hearts to Him and allow Him to just enter and work. And just to see things that He's doing, it is amazing. It really, really is. You know, sometimes I sit back and I question, like, why? You know, why this path? Why that? And then later on, He gives me the answer. He shows that this is why. I'm going to kind of touch on some things that happened this week that needed to happen. I didn't know it at that time, but they needed to happen. To better my walk, so to speak, as much as Brother Nick talks about, as much as Pastor reiterates over and over again how we got to be serious about our walk, be serious, just eliminate the distractions, eliminate what the enemy is going to present before you, because now is the day steam ahead to the arrival of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as the days are just pushing ahead. The enemy is just ramping up. He is coming at every single possible angle he can imagine. So preparation is key because he's coming. He is coming. How do we prepare? We stay in our word. We stay on our knees. We talk. We have conversations with our Father as much as possible to know what the move is going to be. Because I wake up in the morning, Lord willing, I don't know what the move is going to be. I have no idea. Like, Lord, I don't know what this day is going to bring forth, but you know, so lead me in the direction that you see fit. And sure enough, he did something. He did something this week that was like, whoa, that's an eye open. And I'm definitely going to talk about that a little bit later today. But what I did want to do, I want to kind of piggyback on what Brother Nick just did here with the fellowship hour. The more inclination that's been kind of laid upon me to include more spirit of prophecy, more scripture when we do like these like current events, so to speak, to go into the word, to go into SOP, do some readings, and then just kind of see certain events that are being fulfilled, certain things that we are seeing right here that was prophesied long time ago. And we're seeing them being fulfilled right here in our day. So I did, I picked up a devotional, picked up one of this devotional from SOP is titled, Ye Shall Receive Power. And what I did, I just went to today, which is February 13th. And I just wanted to scroll down, and I read the portion, and I said, hey, you know, there are some articles here that I can kind of use that go hand in hand to what Sister White is presenting in this passage. So I'm going to pull this up, and if anyone wants to follow along, they can. But it's the title of the devotional is "Ye Shall Receive Power," and this is page 52, or just turn to February 13th, that being the day. And I'm going to pull it up here on my computer, and I got a few little articles that I want to kind of tie hand in hand with this passage. Okay, and it reads, and it's beginning here with a verse. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So again, going back to the title, referring to the thoughts, so we know where she's going to go ahead in this passage. She says, we have each of us an individual work to do, to gird up the loins of our minds, to be sober, to watch unto prayer. The mind must be firmly controlled to dwell upon subjects that will strengthen the more powers. The youth should begin early to cultivate correct habits of thought. See, right now, there is a direct movement when it comes to our young people. Now, the enemy, he goes after our young, our children. He knows that their minds, I think I read this in a, I think for the first 7 years of a child's life, their brains are like sponges, where they pretty much emulate everything they see, everything they hear. And a lot of times that comes directly from their parents. So whatever their parents are doing, whatever their parents are saying, their children emulate it. They learn directly from mom and dad. So they get their thoughts, they get their characters. However they see mom and dad go, particularly the father, as it's written in the scripture, the glory of the children are and is the father. So they see what the dad does. A lot of children want to grow up to be like the dad, especially the sons. The dad's a fireman, 9 to 10, the son want to be a fireman. The dad's in the military. It's a good possibility that the child wants to be in the military, so forth and so on. So when the children are at these ripe young ages, it is very, very important for the adults to guard what goes into their minds. Because, again, they're so young. They take everything they see around them. They just absorb it just like a sponge. But now, here it is in 2021, we see a lot of our young people are growing up in fatherless homes. They're growing up in homes where the families are broken. Mom is working multiple jobs. So as far as the education to be able to teach the children, the youth, on how they should go, they're getting a lot of that from the schools. They get a lot of that from the government schools. They're getting a lot of that from their peers, particularly from places that are very unchristian-like. We see a trend now with a lot of the young people who are committing crimes, extremely violent crimes. But when you look at how these children are brought up, they're being left in environments where they see this on a regular. They are seeing the movies. They are playing the video games. A lot of them are playing the games now. I remember when I was living in Virginia, we lived in a duplex, and one of the neighbors there, because they were constantly moving people in and out. We stayed there for a long time, probably got like 4 years, but the house right beside us, they couldn't keep people. They just coming in and out. Well, right before we left and moved to come to South Carolina, there was this couple that came in with these two boys. I want to say that her oldest boy was probably about 11, 12-ish, I want to say. And the youngest was maybe like 5 or 6. But I remember there would be plenty of nights we'd be gathered in the front room, maybe looking at TV or something. And you could just hear the sounds of just like war, like what is going on? I mean, and these kids didn't wear like headphones or anything, so you could just hear everything coming through the walls. I mean, this is a duplex, so we're sharing walls. And I can't remember, I think it was either my daughter or someone went over there next door to take something to the mom. And that's when it was discovered that the young child, I mean, 5, 6 years old, was over there playing Call of Duty. And if anyone's ever associated themselves with this game, this is a game that simulates war. And this child's about 5 or 6 years old. So learning how to kill before learning how to even spell his own name. And this is commonplace. This is very, very commonplace. If anyone has been involved in the online gaming community, you know that there are children who are up here who are learning war tactics, who are learning how to shoot, who are learning how to kill. So now they commit these crimes when they become teenagers. They act them out in real life. I came across this one article here in the title. It comes from this site called, well, I'll just read the headline here. It says, America's out-of-control teens are on a historic crime spree. And I'm just going through and I'm just reading some of these things, talking about how the homicide rate is going up in some of these cities and the type of crimes these children were committing. And these are not just like low-level, you know, going to steal a pack of baseball cards. I mean, these were robberies. These were assaults. These were just outright some things you don't even want to even mention. But these were kids that were like 13, 14, 15 years old who committed these crimes. And the list went on and on and on and on and on. And some of them were just getting let off the hook, getting slaps on the wrist. And it's increasing. Now, even more so when they had those riots, a whole lot of the riots are going on in America. A lot of those people who were involved in those riots were young people. They were right there. They were right there breaking into cars, breaking into buildings, doing the burning, doing the looting, beating up people who just so happened to wear a Trump hat. And these were kids who were going to grow up to be adults. And the long list, I mean, this article was just compiling a small slither of crime that these young people were delivering. I mean, were committing. I was reading brother's quote down there. Yes, a definite praise when it comes to being delivered from the games. Because the enemy, I mean, he uses the young people. It's a way of training. It's a way of training the youth to go out there into the real world and commit these crimes. And it just doesn't happen overnight. This is decades of this country going into the wrong direction. Me speaking of America, of course. Or just letting the young people do whatever they want to do and making excuses for it. Or it's a mental illness. Or just kids being kids. Robbing and beating up elders. I mean, these are like someone's grandma and grandpa to just go around and just for no reason decide they want to just beat them up. And it keeps occurring. It keeps occurring all over America. I mean, case in point, I want to say this was about 2005. I can't remember the exact year. I know it was the early 2000s. But my brother, he had played this game, this was long before I got saved, long before I got saved. But he was playing this game, it's called Grand Theft Auto. You may have heard the title, it may be foreign to many of you because you've never been involved in video games. But it was one game that I wanted nothing to do with, just from watching my brother play it. I wanted nothing to do with this, and I was older than him. He was younger than me, it was like a 10-year difference. But that game, it was plagued with acts of robbery, fornication, violence, things that Jesus specifically mentioned in Matthew chapter 15, verses 19. For what he mentions here, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, they were there, murders, definitely there, adulteries, all day long in that game, fornications, thefts, I mean, the title of the game is Grand Theft Auto, so you're going to see plenty of thefts, false witnesses, which are lies, blasphemies. I mean, even the very curse words that they were using in that game was pure blasphemy when directed towards the Most High, you know, using Jesus, using the name in vain, as a swear word, so to speak. Totally things that Jesus mentions in that very next verse that defile a man, These were things that was inside the video game. And I didn't want nothing to do with it. I didn't want to play it, nothing. But the enemy, he watches. He studies. He sees things that, okay, a lot of times we'll say, I don't want to do it, and the enemy will find a way. He will find a way to present it before you. And then to see what the decision that she's going to make. Are you really going to stand firm on that decision? Going to have a firm, decisive no? Or are you going to give in to the temptation? The devil found a way to get that game into my hands. So I used to work at this place back in 2005, 2006. That's right, when my daughter was born. A place that distributed media to various military exchanges. They sold games, they sold DVDs, CDs, and kind of giving away my age a little bit, and various types of media. Like I said, they you would have like a Navy exchange, just like a little mall, where they would just buy a certain amount of product, and we were in charge to make sure they got that product and deliver it to them. It was very, very easy. I loved that job because I guess I saw all like all the new releases while things were coming in the theaters. I knew right then and there when they were coming out and got a chance to preview them right before they hit the store shelves. So that was a kind of little incentive to having that kind of work. But at the end of each month, they would have like this. Yeah, that's exactly what Brother Ellis just posted right there. EDX or BX or, yep, Post Exchange. Yep, they would have any type of media that the company that I worked for then was in charge of getting that media out. They weren't just local. They was all over America and even some exchanges overseas. But at the end of each month, they would have a freebie day. And they would set out bins of product at the front door that didn't sell or were damaged or just simply they had too many of it and just wanted to get rid of. So and everything was free. You can just go in, just grab what you want, and just take it home. It's free. So as I was going through the bins, one of my coworkers had approached me and said, "Look what I found. You know you want this." And sure enough, it was that game. Now, my initial thought wasn't even no, because the temptation at that time was great. I mean, I wasn't going to buy it. I didn't want it. But now it's free. It's being handed to me. Brothers and sisters, within a few short months of owning that game, I was cursing. I was drinking. I was full of road rage. Full of it. If it was in that game, I was doing it. Without the mind being disciplined, it's easy. It is easy to give in and be subjected to Satan's lure. So you can just imagine. Now, me talking about me as an adult then. Now, we're looking at children who are playing these games. And this was 2005, so we're talking about 16 years later where the violence has increased. I mean, now they're not even hiding things as they once used to do. Now it's right in their kids' faces. They're putting it direct in their faces. And they're putting it in the games. They're putting it in the movies. They're putting it everywhere, anywhere you can think of. But now in their social media, it's just there. It's wide open for the children. On how important the mind discipline is. She goes on to say that we should discipline the mind to think in a healthful channel. And not permit it to dwell upon things that are evil. Think about the lockdowns, the social isolation, no being away from loved ones, being in these environments where you can't even interact with the outside world. I mean, especially for the elders, especially for the those who are coming up there in age, who are already in these nursing homes, who are already, you know, in a position where they already feel isolated. Now, because of being locked down, they can't even interact with family or friends. So maybe the enemy knew something, you know, as he's using these lockdowns as a purpose to create an environment where suicides are going up because of the depression. Anxiety. People are suffering from anxiety. They're suffering from the social isolation. And we're meant to be social creatures. We're not meant to be alone. But because of the lockdowns, because of the threat of COVID, oh, we got to, you know, isolate you from everyone else because we don't want you to catch this, you know, deadly disease. So because of this, the isolation, the social isolation is going up. People are drinking a whole lot more. I mean, alcohol sales are going through the roof. Because people figure, like, I'm just at home and just drink the day away. What else do I have better to do? I'm in quarantine. I might as well just drink it away. And the only drink, hey, they're paying me money. They're giving me money to sit at home, so I might as well just, hey, they're giving me free money to sit at home and drink. That's what they're doing. Through the unemployment benefits. And not just that, because of the unemployment, you know, especially for people who are accustomed to working, that causes even more depression. Everyone has their own different, you know, opinion about this matter. But me, I can't do it. I can't sit at home like that. I can't. It has to be, a reason. It has to be a reason. I have to be some type of a health issue or whatever it may be. I just can't. I have to go out. I have to work. I have to work. No matter what it may be, it might be a job I don't like, but I got to make sure that, you know, something is still coming in. I can't just sit at home and be waiting in that mailbox. Now, like I said, every situation is different. Every situation is different, but it's just me from my own personal experience. But again, you're going back to what these lockdowns are doing. People are facing financial hardships. Domestic violence, that is going up. That is definitely going up. Many, many cases of reported violence against women. And on the flip side, too, even against men. People don't think that happened, but it does. It does happen. It does happen. More people are buying guns. Gun sales are through the roof. They are increasing. They're increasing. And when you have a gun in the home, and you are experiencing the depression, you are experiencing the anxiety, that increases the action towards suicide, because now people look for that easy way out when it's not the easy way out. It's a permanent way out. It's permanent. That's permanent. That's something that you don't want. You don't want. But now, because of the lockdowns, these suicides are increasing, not just among adults, but also among young people. Young people. David says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sister White says, as God works upon the heart by his Holy Spirit, man must cooperate with him. The thoughts must be bound about, restricted, withdrawn from branching out and contemplating things that will only weaken and defile the soul. Idleness. So if you're sitting in lockdown, you're idle, so you have lots of time to think. Lots of time to think. And if you're depressed, you're already dealing with anxiety, they're not going to be good thoughts. They're not going to be good thoughts at all. The thoughts must be pure. The meditation of the heart must be clean. Yet the words of the mouth are to be words acceptable to heaven and helpful to your associates. And the enemy wants those thoughts. He wants them. He wants access to that mind. Access. The devil wants access to your temple, the same temple that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 6 verse 19, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. The enemy wants inside. What's going on inside that mind of yours? He wants access. He wants it. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except it come falling away first. And that's plenty of falling away going on right now in America. all over the world, and that man is soon to be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and assaulteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. So what the enemy wants to place himself right in that temple to control what's going on in your mind. Your mind. Showing himself that he is God. He wants that access. And when you see headlines like this, you'll see what he's working towards. Gaining access to the mind. And the method that he's going to use to get it, again, through the young people. The children is who he's after. Headline. I don't know who this person is. I guess this is some rapper, singer. I don't know. I could be saying the name wrong. It's Grimes. I would just say Grimes. And Little Uzi Vert. I don't know. That's a gun. Make plans to get brain chips together following Elon Musk Neuralink announcement. Brain chips. The article goes on to read, Grimes and Little Uzi have announced plans on social media to get brain chips implanted together. The strange interaction occurred on Sunday, or this past Sunday, February 8th, after the rapper tweeted Neuralink in reference to Elon Musk's plan to develop a computer interface that can be implanted in the brain. Yeah, I want to touch on what Brother Arthur just said right there before I go into this further to this article. And my grandfather and several of my uncles, they had them, and as children, we knew they were in the house, just like my parents, like my mom. We knew they were in the house, and yet not one of us put a finger on them. We knew and had respect for those firearms because they were there. They were the protection for the land as far as, you know, animals, as far as intruders, whatever it may be. And we have respect for our granddaddy's shotguns that they were right there. Now, we all knew where they were at, but not none of us put a finger on them because we knew what time it was. Now, that is far from the case concerning young people. If they see anything of their grandparents or whatever laying around like that, are they going to take it, use it, and do something with it? That's how bad it is. That is how bad it is. It's out of control. A lot of the youth have become because of, you know, things that they see, the experience, how they're being brought up, especially in this violent culture. Now, going back to this article, responding to the rapper's tweet, Grimes, who is, this is his wife, this is Elon Musk's wife, wrote, "Let's get brain chips," to which the rapper replied, "I'm ready, when are we doing it?" So he says, "Let's aim for chips by 2022. Now, this is the actual tweet that he put here. Okay, so it says, "Let's aim for chips by 2022. It's experimental surgery, but if it succeeds, we'll have the knowledge of the gods." Let me read that again. It's experimental surgery, but if it succeeds, we will have the power or the knowledge of the gods. Now, why do you think he would say something like that? Why do you think he would say something like that? Doesn't that sound eerily similar to what the devil told Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, when he said, For God doth know, and in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? As gods, knowing good and evil. And mind you, this same rapper, I thought this was just an oversight when I was reading this. This same rapper put this $24 million diamond. He had this thing implanted. I don't know how he did it. It's directly in the middle of his forehead. just directly in the middle of his forehead. I think someone had commented about this last week about this Indian guy who had his shirt made of gold and he was like gold chains or something. And I think something ended up happening to him. So how he's expected to walk around with this on his head is beyond me. I have no idea. But he has this on his head. And now he's talking about getting his chip in his head. Yeah. Yeah. But Sister Jennifer just put it here in the text chat. They have been successful with this chip and putting it in the brain of a monkey. So the monkey can play computer games. Monkey play computer games by using only its mind. By using only its mind. So now, here they go using a very, very popular rap artist. I don't know who he is, but I'm assuming he's very popular among the young people. But they're using him to kind of coax the youth to say, like, hey, if I can do it, then I'm good. And look, you know, everything's okay. And before you know it, you have a generation of young people who want to get chips in their brains. It's that easy to influence the youth. When you use celebrities, you use athletes, you use the culture itself, and they are transformed. I mean, growing up, I had no idea what a binary or cisgender or none of that stuff. Now we got now all these different terms and terminologies for race, for gender, when it's always been male and female. I read an article just the other day where now, you know, they're instructing nurses, instructing midwives when babies are delivered, telling the women that you can no longer use the term breast milk when concerning feeding infants. Now it's called people milk or human milk. That's what it's called because we don't want to offend the transgenders or the binary people who are also here, who can also have children, and they play the parental role. What is this? This is madness. This is outright madness. But all it takes is just a little bit of acceptance. And next thing you know, you have a generation of kids who are saying, oh, some people milk, human milk. You know? And that sets up for the AI difference. That sets up for that. And you can just see it going and on and on and on and what they're doing and how easy it is. Yeah, I don't know where I seen this video, and I was showing this to the kids, Brother Lewis, that this guy was in a totally state of augmented reality where he woke up in the morning and Google ads were like telling him what to do, what his whole agenda was going to be, going through the day and being directed with certain tasks, and if you completed the task, you get a certain amount of cryptocurrency for that day. It was pretty much giving a glimpse of the future. Going into the grocery store, saying he couldn't buy this because of his health, and I mean, this was actually an actual person going through, like, living an actual day. And I'm looking at all this, and he was doing certain actions, and they were like negative actions, so it was messing up his social credit, and he had to call like this social credit hotline to get his, you know, reputation score back up. And whenever he did anything negative, that instantly his entire face was just plastered all over town, so everybody knew he did something. I mean, this, you can just see how this can go very, very quickly, very, very quickly. But that, I was just looking at all of that and just amazed on how easy it would be to transform the youth, how easy it would be to just transform them. On their thoughts and their actions. Insanity. That's exactly what it is. It's insanity. I'm almost sure I can find it. I don't know where I was looking at that. Heck. Sometimes I get on a bench shoot and I just go through a whole bunch of videos and some of them are like, whoa, that's pretty crazy. And a lot of them I'll share or I'll post on Telegram, especially dealing with vaccines or anything like that, I'll put up there. But going back to this verse here and what these two want to do with this whole brain trip, chip, and literally saying that they can become as God, become as God, knowing good and evil. So the White continues on in this passage, says, Christ, said to the Pharisees, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How is it possible? How do you think these chips are going to manipulate these people? Their minds are already set on evil. Do you think this chip is going to cause any difference? No, it's not. No, it's not. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men should speak, it should give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37. I'm this rapper. His name is Little Uzi. I'm going to put it in the Telegram later on after Sabbath. But that's his name, and I guess the wife of Elon Musk. They want to go forth and put these chips into their brains. And like I said, once the young people see this, once they see this, I mean, they're already in countries overseas where they're already putting these chips in their hands and in their wrists, even though it's very, very outdated technology. It's extremely outdated compared to the nanomachines, compared to the digital tattoos, and a host of other of AI tech that they can use to control and manipulate. I mean, even the very cell phone in your hands, I mean, people cannot go out of their house without their phones. They cannot leave. I mean, it's just like taking their arms off if they go. It becomes a part of you. It does. It does. What Christ is speaking of here in this passage, what we just read in Matthew, is the very power of the word. The very power of the word. To use it for good, to use it for evil. But it all begins in the thought. It all begins in the idea. And enemy, watch it. That's why it's so important to guard those thoughts. It's so important to guard our words, because the enemy is right there waiting to know whatever falls out of your lips, he's right there. He's going to catch it. He's ready. I'm like, oh, that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're thinking about. I got something for you. So that temptation comes in. Many fail to contemplate the power of the words. I had this happen to me earlier last week. I was talking with some coworkers. It was when the day was getting ready to wind down. And we were just talking about various things, nothing off the wall. I think somebody brought the conversation up of living out here in the country. You have to be aware of the animals. You have to be aware of them, especially the deer. Especially the deer. You live in an area where not a lot of night lights. In the morning, you can get up at low-lying fog, so the visibility is very, very low. So you have to be careful. And many, many times I've come home after doing ride share or just driving in general, after sunset, and seeing like a family of them sitting on the side of the road, where they just come out, you know, walking out and about, and we're just having a conversation with people who had gotten involved in accidents, and I was kind of sharing some of what happened to some of my family members and what happened to them as far as accidents. And I said, it never happened to me. It never happened to me. You know, I just find a way either I'm coming in an area where there's some deer at, and I just happen to see them. I slow down, I brake, dim the lights, whatever it may be. Or I've had some close calls, but I've never made contact with one. And that changed Friday. Yesterday morning, I was leaving out to work, and I got up in the morning, fixed some breakfast, and I woke the kids up to get them prepared for their day. And I got ready to leave out. I mean, I was making good time and going to work. I already got there about a good 5-10 minutes prior, maybe 5 at the max, 5 minutes. And I just finished eating, and I had some lemonade. I had some lemonade sitting right there in the cup holder. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I was not even a good mile from my home. Well, not a good mile. And I had took my hand and reached over to that cup holder and got ready to grab that cup and take a sip. And as soon as I grabbed that cup, bam! I mean, it was a hard bam, too. I mean, what just happened? Because it happened so fast. I had just plowed the 6 points. That deer destroyed my entire front end. Right now, my car is in a repair facility. It is done. If it comes out of there, if it comes out of there repaired, it'd be nothing but the grace of God. But just what I was talking about earlier, what I want to get into, the Lord knows exactly what is needed when it comes to the rebuke, when it comes to the discipline of his children. He knows, just as a parent knows for their child, the father knows what's best when it comes to his children. I've been talking often. I've been enjoying the whole rideshare scene, being able to meet new people, meet new faces, talk about a variety of subjects. But it was getting redundant. And sometimes you want to look at a way to kind of get out of something, but you feel like, okay, I'm kind of stuck to it. What happened Friday definitely ended that. Ended it. And then I sat back and I said, Father, what was the reason? What was the reason? And the answer came. The answer came in the word serious. I need you to be serious. And if I got to take something from you, then so be it. But I need you to be more serious than what you are right now. It's not enough. I need you to increase. So looking back at what happened, I mean, it devastated me because I haven't gotten to an accident like that. I mean, this was just something that, like I said, it was a mile from my house. It was a little low-lying fog, and I mean, I wasn't like on my phone or doing no kind of text or nothing like off the wall crazy. It was just getting ready to pick up my juice. Picking up my juice. And I look out in the street and there's a deer laying on. He got messed up pretty bad and radiator, headlights, everything was gone. It was gone. And I wasn't even probably doing about a good 45. I'm coming out of the house. But looking at that, now I see there's more time you can spend, especially I would consume a lot of my Sundays doing rideshare. Now you can spend more time at home. Spend more time preparing, more time studying, more time being focused. And sometimes it may seem hard, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the rebuke, when it comes to the discipline, when it comes to the chastening, but do not despise it, as Solomon says in the book of Proverbs. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, because as the Lord chastens, he loves it. He loves you. He loves you, because if he didn't, he wouldn't allow that chastening to begin in the first place. He wouldn't. If you see someone getting ready to walk into the train tracks, and you see an oncoming train, and that train is getting ready to take that person out, you love them, like, hey, that train is coming. Hey, you need to move. You're going to lose your life. You gave the warning. The Father's giving the warning. If that person does not take heed and that train hits him, you gave the warning. Allow him to come into your life. And it may seem hard, it may seem difficult, but this is what's needed. It's needed at this time. He needs soldiers. He needs Christians Because we're living in a world that is full of darkness. And that's the other thing, Sister Kimberly. That's the other thing. I walked away without a scratch. And I mean, when I said I hit that thing hard, I hit that deer hard. Very hard. I mean, I can just the very thought is just like resonating in my mind from what happened yesterday morning. I hit it very hard. And when I went out to assess the damage, I'm like, oh, this thing is done. It's done. If they managed to complete the repair on this, it'd be nothing but the grace of God. But I do know that as far as ride sharing, that is over. That is over. That is over. And the springtime approaching, we can take these Sundays, take it out there in that yard. Take it out there in that yard and put that hole to the dirt. And get to digging and get to planting and get out there and get busy. Becoming more self-sufficient, so to speak. Yeah, so now I have my own deer story. I have mine. I never thought I would have one. But again, when you say these things, the enemy is right there, just as he was with that game I spoke about earlier. He's right there. He's looking. He's observing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ presented before his disciples the far-reaching principles of the law of God. He taught his hearers that the law was transgressed by the thoughts before the evil desire was carried out in the actual commission. Now, do you see why the devil knows and understands the power of gaining access to the mind? Those thoughts become words. Those words become actions. And those actions become habits. The more you repeat an action, that action becomes to the point where you no longer think about it. Oh, that deer, that was a fatality that day, brother. When I say I hit that, I hit him hard, bro. Hard. Very hard. I stepped out and he was gone. He was toast. He was toast. And like I said, it wasn't nothing I could do at that point. By the time I realized that I had hit him, it was way too late, extremely too late. And I tell you, I looked down for a split second to grab my drink and take a sip, and it was like lemonade was all over the dash, all over the steering wheel, all over my lap. My lunch that I had sitting on the front seat, it flew up. I keep lunch in some containers. I keep that in the front seat because throughout the work week, my car pretty much becomes my second home. And everything that was sitting on that front seat, it just flew. Oh yeah, I'm talking about the crash right now, babe. That was fun. Everything I had on that front seat was ended up on the floor of the passenger side. That's how hard I hit that thing. It was pretty bad. But going back to our thoughts, again, our ideas become our words. Those words become our actions. There's an old saying that goes somewhere hand in hand with that. I can't kind of think of the quote, so to speak. But take the vaccine, for example, just thinking about the thoughts and actions. I mean, the media control the thoughts of the people to coax them into doing something they wouldn't necessarily or normally do on their own. This is called temptation. Tempted to take this vaccine. You wouldn't do it on your own. This time last year, no one was thinking about getting this vaccine. No, not even the very thoughts of their minds of getting this vaccine. But this is temptation that they're pushing to get people to do it. They're offering these incentives. They're presenting people these incentives. They're paving the way for people. They don't even think. They just do. Temptation. Without the Holy Spirit, pride in the heart. With those resounding no's will undoubtedly lead to sin, which leads to death. As it is written in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, when every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. People, without giving place to thoughts and making a careful decision, one that typically leads to safety. Solomon speaks in the book of Proverbs, and a multitude of counselors there is safety. So having those counsels, not just one or two, but multitudes of them to help in a good, wise, informed decision. And now with the vaccine, there are plenty of doctors, nurses coming out there saying like, hey, you don't take this, don't take this. I can't walk. My legs is jacked up. I'm getting Bell's palsy, or better yet, people are dying from taking this. Dying. But instead of seeing that, they're just giving in to the temptation. The temptation being like this one, of take the vaccine and receive a free bag of marijuana. That was an article. Or the temptation, take the vaccine and receive 4 hours of pay if you work at McDonald's. Now, what is the going wage at McDonald's? I don't know. It's got to be the minimum wage. We're talking about 4 hours. What's the federal minimum wage? What, $7.75? So you're willing to take this vaccine for just what, $30? And not just McDonald's. Target offered the same. Temptation. Dollar General, the same. Many corporations. I mean, I have no doubt that the CEOs of these companies were at that meeting with Pope Francis, the CEOs of these companies we just mentioned. I mean, not only are they willing to pay you pennies on the dollar to get this death dealing shot, but they are providing Lyft rides round trip to make sure you get to your lethal injection appointment. They're doing everything they can, pulling all the stops, tempting the people to go and get this shot. In Russia, temptation, take the vaccine and receive a free ice cream cone. That's just so worth it. So worth it, a popsicle for a DNA-altering vaccine. Temptation. Instacart is giving a $25 stipend to workers who get the shot. A Trader Joe's giving employees 2 hours of pay per dose. So you get the first shot, 2 hours of pay. The second one, another 2 hours of pay. And a lot of them are giving like little vacation days, 48 hours of leave. That reminds me of the post in the Telegram that a lot of these reactions is being discovered. A lot of these reactions from the vaccine are not surfacing to months later. In other words, the reactions from the vaccine can be delayed. They don't show up right away. They don't. Yeah. Let's say Kroger offered you and your wife $100 to take the shot. The money, the temptation. And they know a lot of people are out of work. They're facing financial hardships. So just in that moment, just to be able to get by, because now $100 is the equivalent of a dollar nowadays, it goes by so quick, so quick. But they know people are desperate. They're desperate, and they'll take the offer. They'll take it hook, line, and sinker. And this is just one of many, many, many companies that are offering these pay incentives, vacation. They're using many of the methods to tempt the people to do it, to tempt them. I've seen that this one article, this rapper made a song. Well, he's literally rapping and telling people to go out and take the shot, and making people who are against it, putting them in a negative light, painting them as enemies. And his brother Nick posted in his recent blog entry, this is pitting people, dividing people, those who are for wearing masks and those who are against wearing a mask, those who are all in favor of getting the shot and those who are against getting the shot. total division. Total division. And you see a lot of the people who are in favor of it are typically on the left side, left on the left. I don't get involved in no kind of politics. Me and politics, we've never agreed. I've never voted, so that's just something I don't get involved with. But you see how they're framing the ideology for these people, intending to put those who are against the vaccines, who are against wearing the mask. And it's not just wearing the mask. You see a lot of these stores, you go into the stores, you have to have it on. They won't let you shop. Now, granted, where I'm at, it's not much of a big deal. It's not. Amazingly, the Walmart allows you to go right in there. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to wear it. And, you know, they had the huge sign in the front. Humongous sign. I'm talking about the face coverings. Nobody gets up in your face and tells you to wear a mask. Same thing when I go to some of the grocery stores. Now, there are a few, like the retail outlets, like I don't know, TJ Maxx is one. I wanted to go in there and get a belt for my son, and they got all in my face. They really did. I'm about wearing it. I said, I'm not going to be in here long. I just, you know, make you happy and come out the store. I don't want to, you know, don't want to offend, so to speak. So give a reason to be angry. But I do look for opportunities to talk to people, and I say, do you have on your mask? And why do I need mine? And what is the purpose? What is the point? I'm going to keep on wearing these things, and what does it do? So we get into, you know, a little conversation. So I'm listening, so I'm just going and do it, going through the motions. They do. But the division that is causing here in America, it is, and these sides that they're pitting people up against. I mean, someone had posted in Telegram with these signs showing people who are wearing MAGA hats, Trump hats, and what New York City calls these people trash. And people had MAGA hats, but one person had a Bible in their hands, alluding to the fact that they would say that anyone who's a Trump supporter is a Christian because they have a Bible. Now, again, I don't do anything with politics. I don't. So how can you automatically classify a person who reads the Bible as a Trump supporter? This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing, garnishing the hate towards Christians. And that hate going. But it all starts right now what they're doing with COVID. Again, right there. So Kevin just posted to buy and conquer. Divide and conquer. Even though you can just take your time and do your own research and see when it comes to this vaccine that it should not be entering into your body. And it's not even a vaccine at all. It's not a vaccine. It's synthetic. It should not be going into your body. Period. Period. As we have seen and shared in Sabbath on Telegram, on Brother Nick, on the Insanity page, rememberthegod.org, vaccines kill. They kill. But in order to willingly take the vaccine, you got to be subject to the temptation. The temptation not to be excluded from the rest of the world who are given into the vaccine. Even though it's the news pretty much reporting it, because everybody I come in contact with say, no, I'm not taking that thing. I'm not taking that shot. Well, if you watch the mainstream media, says it's a demand. The teacher's demanding it. Now we gotta give jabs to the kids. It's just going on and on and on. And then you receive the vaccine and you receive the consequences, which is serious in injury or death. But it all begins with the thought, the temptation. The temptation that Sister White closes with here. By saying that we are under obligation to control our thoughts and bring them in subjection to the law of God. And taking a shot defiles the body. And defiles the body, that is a direct transgression of commandment number 6, because you are destroying the temple of God taking that shot. So, I don't know. We'll probably keep this up. We're going to SOP, and I get so many articles that I want to share with you guys come Sabbath. So we'll just go into SOP, into this book, and I'll just kind of take some articles that I gathered throughout the week and kind of mirror them up with the reading. That's what we'll do. That's exactly what we'll do. So it is the top of the hour, and I am going to exit stage right and see if Brother Sean is present. Is he here? Where beest thou? Let me see. Him is here. All right there, brother. I'm going to lower my mic. And the next voice you shall hear will be that of our beloved Brother Sean. Sabbath blessings, everyone, and God bless.